Luke chapter 9, look at verse 28. It says, "Now it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings that he took Peter, John, and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the appearance of his face was altered, and his robe became white and glistening." That's a transformation. And you know, we talked about transformation and how it affects your physical appearance. That's what's taking place here. We call it the Mount of Transfiguration. "And behold, two men talked with him who were Moses and Elijah." Skip down to verse 33. "Then it happened as they were parting from him that Peter said to Jesus, 'Master, it is good for us to be here, and let us make three tabernacles, one for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah,' not knowing what he said." I like that phrase, "not knowing what he said." You ever been so excited you just blurted something dumb? That's what Peter did. This was a dumb thing to say. Like they were going to build three tabernacles right then and there. Really? So anyway, he's just excited. Peter's excited. "Lord, it's good for us to be here." Verse 34, "While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were fearful as they entered the cloud. And a voice came out of the cloud saying, 'This is my beloved Son, hear him.'" Now, if this voice is declaring that Jesus is the Son, whose voice is that? That's the Father. This is God speaking from a cloud. We would call that the Shekinah glory of God. God is manifesting physically. And what we're going to talk about today, hearing him with clarity and certainty. It's not just enough to hear him. We need to be clear about what we heard, and we need to be certain that what we heard is what he wants us to hear. There's a lot of people hearing snippets of God, and you don't really have enough to make the certain decisions that you need to make. Now, this whole account here in Luke is an amazing thing. I've often wondered, what is taking place? Moses and Elijah, these guys are long gone. Now, Elijah didn't die. Remember, he was caught up in the chariot of fire. And Moses, he went up on the mountain with God. And we know Moses was dead because of what he told Joshua in Joshua chapter 1. Moses was dead. They didn't know that until God told them. What does this represent? What's taking place? Why Moses and Elijah? And Jesus is starting to shine. Isn't that an amazing thing? And I know there's more to it than just what we read and Peter's reaction, obviously. There's more to it than this. And what it is, Moses represents the law. Elijah represents the prophets. The law and the prophets were the word of God of the old covenant. And now God says, "This is my beloved Son, hear him." He is transferring the highest expression of his word to Jesus. Man, I got help. I got goosebumps. Double park. Glory to God. That's what's taking place here. Now, the word "hear" means give audience, and it's for the purpose of understanding. How many of you know you can hear somebody but not understand them? I always think of Charlie Brown's teacher. You know there's some communication going on, but you don't understand it. We don't want that. We need to not only give audience, but it's for the purpose of understanding. Then the Vine's expository brings this out. Hearing the voice, it removes the idea of any contradiction. When we talk about hearing God, we need to hear him so clear that all contradictions are removed. How many of you know there's some contradictions out there? Then, in another usage of this word, it indicates the intimate fellowship of the Son with the Father. This is a relationship word. It's the intimate fellowship. That's how that word is used, and that's how we're to use that word. When we hear him, it is about fellowship with him. Go over to John chapter 10. Hearing God is a skill. And why I say that is because it can be developed. In fact, it has to be developed if you're going to become proficient at it. Playing drums is a skill. The more Pastor Josh practices the drums, the more proficient he becomes at it. The more we practice hearing God, the better we get at it. John chapter 10, let's start reading in verse 1. Jesus is speaking. He says, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep," look at this, "hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for or because they know his voice." If you don't know his voice, you cannot follow him. "Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." Now skip down to verse 27. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." And again, "Unless I know his voice, I can't follow him." Go over to Romans chapter 10. The problem is that some people don't dial in to hear the Lord until they really reach a scrape. They're in some kind of bind. They're in a tight place. And then it's like, "Lord, I need a word. I need to hear from you." Yeah. Well, don't try to build your foundation in a flood. That's the wrong time to try to build a foundation. You should already have a pattern of hearing and obeying. Hearing and obeying. Hear what God says and do what he says. It's very important. The best advice in the Bible came from Mary when she told the disciples, "Whatever he tells you to do, do it." That's the best advice in the Bible. We need to be in a pattern of doing that. Don't wait for a flood. That's not the time to try to hone the skill. Amen. Romans chapter 10, look at verse 17. And you guys know this verse, but it says, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Now, I spent a lot of years quoting that verse, hearing that verse taught, and the way it was taught was formulaic. In other words, you need to quote the word so that faith will come. It was kind of apart from God. But Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Even though I'm quoting scriptures, God needs to breathe on it. God's breath needs to be in it. And I would say this verse a little differently. So then faith comes by hearing God. Because I quoted it this way: faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. So I had my formula. I thought, well, bless God, I can do that, right? I'll just quote the word. "Given it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, shall men give unto your bosom," right? Or, "I know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for my sake he became poor." I'm just quoting scriptures. That word needs to be alive because the Holy Spirit in me is bearing witness to it. That's when faith comes. Again, we're going back to the joy of the Lord. When you start sensing the pleasure of the Holy Spirit on the inside of you going, "Yeah, yeah, yeah, that's yours." Now, when you're speaking words, something's happening. It's not just sound going out of your mouth, but something's happening. You're reaching out into the spirit realm and causing things to change. Wow, thank you, Lord. And that is how faith comes. But why does faith come? Because we know him. Because we know his voice, right? And unless I hear him, I will struggle to believe. Even if you have the concept, even if you can memorize verses, you will struggle to believe those verses unless you know him. I know that doesn't make you run the aisles, and there's not a lot of shouting over that, but it's still the truth. Go over to 1 Corinthians 14. Now, don't get all stiff on me. Come on now. We're going to have fun here. It's good. I think it's a sin to bore people with the Word of God. So this is not boring. Look at your neighbor and say, this is not boring. This is fascinating. There you go. All right. 1 Corinthians 14. Look at verse 7. It says, even things without life, whether flute or harp, when they make a sound, unless they make a distinction in the sound, how will it be known what is piped or played? For if the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who will prepare for battle? What a great scripture that is. Okay, we have instruction. The troops are ready. What are we waiting for? We're waiting for the trumpet to blast. When we hear that, we're going to mount up and go, right? But if this trumpet makes an uncertain sound, what was that? Was that the trumpet? I don't know. We're talking about certainty. Certainty. If it makes an uncertain sound. So we need to be able to hear him with certainty. Clarity and certainty. And it's possible. That is the New Testament dispensation. We're supposed to hear him. We are his sheep. We know his voice. And because we know his voice, we follow him. And he knows us. And he calls us by name. Thank you, Lord. I'm getting help now. Now, there was a commercial a few years back. I really enjoyed it. And the purpose, I'm going to show you the commercial. I went on YouTube and got it. And it's not to advertise for them. I cut the advertisement out. But the purpose is to show you that even though you're listening to the Lord, you have to eliminate distractions. That's why we get still. Our mind can be a distraction. The things I need to do today, I have a list. I got to do this list. And you're trying to sit still before the Lord, and you got this big list of things. But Rob's got a business, and his business is blessed. He's having to turn away work. I mean, blessed, right? So it would be hard for Rob, you know, when there's people, the phone's blowing up on a Monday morning, people need my help, right? It's hard to get still, but you have to make the time to do it. See, now we're going to watch this commercial. Go ahead. It's only like a minute long, so go ahead and play it.
So tell me about yourself.
Well, you know, I'm an organized person, somebody who does not leave details out. I'm actually very, very good with groups. I've surpassed all my goals in my previous position, my prior job, and your competitor. My personality and me have surpassed their own goals.
That says it better than I can explain it. Now, could he hear that guy? No, why? He was distracted. Do you know that's why you close your eyes when we pray? There's nothing biblical about it. I don't see anywhere that they close their eyes. Jesus would lift his eyes to heaven. See, that's New Testament posture for prayer is hands lifted without wrath and without doubting, right? And nothing in there about closing your eyes. But I close my eyes. Why? So I don't see the talking stain. Somebody was talking to me this morning, and that bottom picture over there right outside that door was crooked, and it was just like that stain. La, 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 la. I said, hey, I'll be right back. You know, I had to go fix that picture. Let me give you a situation. Just this week, this is when this whole thing kind of plopped into my heart. We're at the house. We recorded Nanny McPhee. My kids love Nanny McPhee. It's kind of like a Mary Poppins sort of thing. And we're getting ready to go somewhere. So Nanny McPhee is on. I think they even had it in surround sound, so it's plenty loud. Our dogs, one of them is a Chinese crested powder puff, and the other is, what is Tucker? He's just big, okay? A big dog. Don't mean to get all technical, but he's a big dog, right? And he doesn't really make a whole lot of sound, but because Eli is so small, all he does is scream. You know, so they're playing. So we got that going on. We got Nanny McPhee going on. Julie's in the bedroom. I'm sitting at the dining room table. And Julie yells out to me, because we're getting ready to go somewhere, please grab Emma a pair of jeans from the second drawer. What I heard was, freeze dragons in Paris under the seventh floor. So I walk in and I want to help you, but I'm not sure I can do that. With all of that going on, I couldn't hear clearly, could I? That's how innocently that can happen. Now go over to 1 Kings 19. See, God's trying to communicate to us, but are we hearing him? Are we hearing him clearly? Are we certain that we heard him? 1 Kings 19, look at verse 11. Then he, God, said, he's talking to Elijah, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. Man, that's some serious wind. I mean, we just had Hurricane Irma come through. I don't know that that would have broken rocks. I mean, it did some damage, but wow, this is a serious thing. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. If you're looking for God in the spectacular, you're going to miss him. Did you hear me? And it's wrong in this dispensation to put a fleece before the Lord. I'm telling you, masses of people do that. Lord, if you want me to go to Nicaragua, then let seven red cars pass in front of my house in the next 30 minutes. You're not being led by the Spirit. You're being led externally. And the enemy has access to that. See, in the New Testament dispensation, we're to be led on the inside. And we'll get into that more as we go. So it's important to understand how God speaks. I wish that he would write it on the wall. And we knew his handwriting so well that we wouldn't be fooled by anything else. But we're not to be led externally. We're to be led by the Spirit of God on the inside of us. Amen? And it's a still, small voice. That means if there's a lot of chaos going on, dogs, kids, probably Emma and Shane were fighting over an iPad at the same time as all that was going on. I didn't even make a note of how much stuff was going on. It was a tumult at that moment. Please grab a pair of jeans, right? Really. So I didn't hear it. But there's a still small voice, and that's going to require tuning out all the other stuff. Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We need to understand how God speaks to us. And I'm just kind of getting this introduced today. I will say this, you do need to be proficient in the written word. Be a student of the written word. That is the language of the Holy Spirit. The more you study his written word, the better he can communicate to you. Because most of the time when the Lord's ministering to me, he's reminding me of scriptures, which is what Jesus said he would do. Said he would remind you of what I've said to you. See, but if all you know is John 11:35, you're in trouble. Jesus wept. That's not going to help you. God, are you sad? What? I mean, you won't know, right? The more of the word, the written word you have hidden in your heart, that's like letters on a keypad. So the more you have of that in your heart, the more he can articulate exact thought to you. Most of the time, he's witnessing to me about scriptures. And I call it an electric thought. You just get this electric thought that comes in, and all of a sudden, you just know something. And that's the Creator. He just spoke to us. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, look at verse 9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man, that would better be translated mind of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. In other words, you're not going to get it through your eye gate or your ear gate, but it's going to come through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know. That's recognition of truth by personal experience. That's an intimate word. The things freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So the way that God communicates with us is spirit to spirit. Spirit to spirit. Spirit to spirit. That's how he does it. It's not going to be man's wisdom. You know, we try week in and week out. We provide an atmosphere where God's presence, you can have an encounter with God's presence. We want you to have that. We want you to have an experience with God. I can describe the experience with all the adjectives I have, and it will not come close to the actual experience. You have to experience for yourself the Lord. When you know the Father, when you know how much He loves you, that fixes the doctrine. I had a lot of wrong doctrine. But all of a sudden I knew Him and I thought, the things I believed, they were off. They were wrong. I had embraced precepts or concepts that people had shared. Maybe I just heard them wrong. So I don't want to say I was taught wrong. It didn't foster knowing Him. Knowing Him is everything. I mean, it is everything. Is there anything more important than that? Can you think of anything more important than knowing God? Absolutely not. Go over to Romans chapter 8. Now we're talking about how God speaks to us. Now we see that it's spirit to spirit. Spirit to spirit. Well, how does that work? I'd like to know. Anybody want to know how that works? Well, here we go. Romans chapter 8, look at verse 16. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. Did you see it? The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit. In Romans 9, verse 1, talks about my conscience bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit. My conscience. How many of you know what your conscience is? You're getting ready to do something, you know you shouldn't do it, and all of a sudden you get this little on the inside. That's your conscience. See, your conscience is the voice of your human spirit. That's the born-again part of you. That's the person that the Holy Spirit's going to communicate. Now, we have to process it in our mind. We spent 5 weeks talking about having a healthy, prosperous soul because that's where we're going to process everything. If that's damaged or unhealthy, then we're going to have a hard time processing the things that God wants to express to us. Go over to Colossians chapter 3. And while you're turning there, let me quote for you Acts 15, verse 28. And it says, for it seemed good to the Holy Spirit. It seemed good to the Holy Spirit. Now, what their subject matter is not what I'm looking at. I'm wanting that phraseology. Paul is saying, it seemed good to the Holy Spirit. I want you to think about that. What does that mean? That means you're getting ready to do something. You got a couple of people, maybe you're praying about it, and you're getting ready to step out. And all of a sudden, this seems good to the Holy Spirit. That's how He does it. You're being led. Because if you're about to make a mistake, it's not going to seem good. We call it a check. We're going to get this hesitation. Now, I don't know. Something's off. I don't know why, but something's not right. You don't necessarily need to know what it is that's off. You just need to know that it's off. And what's that mean? Man, when we get that, I hit the brakes. Whoop. I'm not going to move till I'm certain of what to do. Let me tell you a policy I live by, and it has saved me a lot of grief. If I don't know what to do, I don't do anything. I know people, they're just like, well, do something. Just do something. No, you're going to wind up going 10 miles the wrong way. And now you got to backtrack. Just wait at the intersection till you know what God wants you to do. Yeah, I will. She knows. Yeah, like a donkey. Yeah, back right down in the road. Not clear on it. Not clear on it. Mm-mm. But we got deadlines. I don't care. I'm not clear. There's pressure. They want to pressure you to get, hey, come on, come on, come on. We got to do this. Mm-mm. Not until I'm clear. You got to know. It needs to seem good to the Holy Spirit. Amen? Now, I'm going to close with this verse. Colossians 3. Look at verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were also called in one body, and be thankful. Now notice verse 16. I believe this is connected. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. I believe the fact that the more scripture that we have hidden in our heart, the more that we've spent time in the written word of God, that again, that's how he's going to lead us. He's going to remind us of those things. And so what do? We're allowing, letting the peace of God. That's that it seems good to the Holy Spirit. You're just going to have this warm, velvety feeling. This is the right thing to do. And I want you to know you can be confident in that. You can develop this to the place that you move on this much quicker. When I was first starting off, you know, you're going to make a few mistakes the first couple of times. You can miss it. In my zeal, I went way off a few times. Zealous, no knowledge, right? And you can make a mess doing that. But you can get to the place where you're so confident, it is almost as though you heard God audibly. It can be developed. The skill of hearing God can be developed to that place. Amen? In fact, listen to this verse in the Amplified. It says, and let the peace, soul harmony, which comes from Christ, rule, act as umpire continually in your hearts, deciding and settling with finality all questions that arise in your minds. What does an umpire do? We're right in the middle of the World Series. What's an umpire do? Is that a trick question? I mean, what does an umpire do? They make calls. And what are their calls? Out, safe. Out, safe. There you go. So what are we doing? We're letting the peace of God rule with finality and certainty what he wants. Well, did you get anything out of that? Thank you, Lord. We want to be able to hear him and not the talking stain. Amen.